You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
That we always want to be in a place that we honor our military, our armed forces, and our veterans. And so what we want to do this morning is something that Canby Foursquare has done over the years, and we just ask for anybody who is serving in the armed forces currently or have served, would you please stand? Yeah. Please stay standing. Please stay. Yeah, stay standing. Stay standing. Yeah. We want to thank you. We want to pray over you. This is no small order that you've done for this country, that some of you are actively doing. We thank you, and we don't want to take for granted that we stand here free on a Sunday morning, free to be able to worship whatever God we choose to. We can worship Jesus Christ, that we have the freedom because you've protected this country, that we have many freedoms that come in our life day in and day out. So I just want each of you to know, and I hope that I've made eye contact with each one of you, and just say thank you. Thank you for your service, and we pray that you would feel honored in this place. And I just want to pray a prayer over you, and then you can be seated. Lord, God, I thank you for this great country that we get to belong to. God, I thank you that it is a country that you have blessed abundantly, God, and that you have used this country to advance your gospel all around the world. And Lord, that we know that to much who's been given, much will be expected. And I thank you for these women and these men that have given above and beyond, Lord, that they have sacrificed ease in their life. They've sacrificed other things that they could have served. They've sacrificed in other areas to serve not only you, Jesus, but their country and their nation. God, I pray that they would feel honored today. I pray, God, that we would honor them every day. We thank you for the blessing of them serving this great nation. We thank you, Jesus, that you are good, that you are gracious. Thank you for our armed forces that they're not at church this morning because they're out serving. Thank you that our borders are protected because people are protecting them, Jesus. I thank you that our country is able to be a blessing to the nations, Lord, because of our armed forces. We thank you and we pray a blessing over all those, past, present, and future, who have served and will serve in our military. We thank you, Jesus, that you're good. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys may be seated. I doubt those on the worship team will appreciate that later. All right, we are going to call on our ushers now. We are going to take our tithes and offerings, and fresh off of 2 weeks of messages on giving, I'm sure everybody's excited to give. This is the part of our service where we just want to continue to worship the Lord. We want to continue to come before the Lord with offerings, with tithes, and use it to bless, hopefully, this church, the greater community of Canby, and also the nation. So if our ushers could come forward, we are going to take this offering. Pastor Ron probably wouldn't appreciate me forgetting to do the offering, so I'm glad that I remembered that one. I have a big note right here that says, offering. So I'll pray, and the ushers will do the rest. Jesus, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that this church has been continuing to be a gracious, kind church that is known by its generosity. Lord, I just pray over our offering now, Lord. I thank you that you have given so abundantly to us, and I pray, God, that you would multiply it. As the money goes into the sacks that are being passed, Lord, that you would multiply that money. And God, in turn, I pray that you would, those who come and they sacrifice and they give week in and week out, Lord, that you would bless them abundantly, Lord, that they would look at their finances and say, it just doesn't make sense. God, that you would multiply the money and the resources in this room. Lord, we thank you and we love you. Amen. Well, Pastor Ron is gone. Pastor Ron and Annette have taken off to Albania for this for the next 2 weeks. And as our the offerings going around, I just want to mention, if you guys can, if you think about Ron and Annette and the team that's going over, I think some families from our church are over there, just pray for them, pray for travels and that their time there is well spent. They are going over to host a leadership summit and to supply resources to those who are leading churches, who are partnering with churches. And this church, you guys gave maybe a month or so back, you guys gave an offering above and beyond over $5,000. You guys gave above and beyond $5,000 to resource pastors on the other side of the globe. And as many of you know, formerly, my wife and our three kids, we were missionaries, and oftentimes we were the receivers of such a blessing, and it just meant the world. It meant so much that a small little church in Pacific Northwest, Canby, would just give to bless a nation. So thank you guys. You guys have a reputation of being generous. Continue in that. Do not grow weary of doing good. If you would like to start turning in your Bibles to John, 1 John chapter 1, that's where we are going to set up shop. We're going to be in 1 John for the next several weeks. So if you could turn in your Bibles, we will kick off 1 John. We are today, the sermon is Getting to Know John. Who is John? And Ron had posted, I think, on our website that the series is going to be called Radical Love. So we're going to look at the radical love of John and Ron, in the book of 1 John. And Ron and I will co-teach through this book. And Ron has blessed me and let me kick this series off. So that was nice of him. And we came together and we were trying to figure out this series and how we would take it on. And then I was scheduled for more of the middle. And then Ron just said, you know what, you can take it. And I am excited about it. One, I don't know if any of you are teachers or communicators, but when you are prepping and you're getting excited about your information, it is just overload time. It is time to get it out or else it's going to blow up. And that's how I've been for the last several weeks with 1 John. This book has me really excited and potentially over the top. So we'll see how it goes. I realize for some of you that it might be unfamiliar to start in a book, starting in the first verse and just going all the way through to the end of the book. And that's what we're going to do in this series, is we're just going to go through the entire book of 1 John. And I know sometimes we can go to church and there can be a topic on kindness, a topic on joy, a topic on love, and that's good. And I think this church has a history of doing both. Sometimes you'll go through an entire book, and other times you'll do more topical. At this season, we're just going to go blast through the book of 1 John, and we're going to go through this book, and we're going to unturn every stone and look at it and look at what's the big idea of each of this specific book. And we're just going to do this for the next several weeks. And it'll take us right on into the Christmas season. Now, if you're not familiar with this style of teaching, you might be asking, well, why are we going to do that? Aren't there other books of the Bible? Why can't we go Old Testament verse, New Testament verse, maybe something from Psalms? And that is a style. But what this style of teaching allows for us to do is we get to see the author, we get to see who's writing the book, and why and who they're writing the book to. So if you look up here, you can see that in the book of 1 John that there's going to be an author. Presumably, what's his name? Scholars. So we got John, and he is sending a letter to somebody. There's a receiver of this letter. And when we look at the book and we look at the entirety of the book, we get to understand, who is this John? Because for a lot of us, who are we really familiar with in the New Testament as an author? Paul, right. Paul is a main figure in the New Testament. He's written a lot of our favorite books of the Bible, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. Paul is a prolific writer. But we have these other writers that their works are amazing, and seeing Jesus from their perspective, seeing what motivated them. And what we're looking at today is we're looking at the Apostle John. Now, the Apostle John, he wrote 5 books of the New Testament. He wrote the Gospel, our last Gospel, the 4th Gospel. He wrote 1st and 2nd, 3rd Epistle. There's 3 epistles or 3 letters here. And then he also wrote the book of Revelation. And when we look at John, John is going to see, and he's going to write from a different angle. John is somebody who was close to Jesus. He was in Jesus' inner circle of friends. Jesus had 12, and then he had an inner circle of 3, Peter, James, and John. And we'll look at his life in just a few minutes. But he is writing a letter he's in Ephesus. If we look at the next slide here, he's in Ephesus, and this is now made up in modern-day Turkey. And he's in Ephesus, and that's where John eventually moved because of persecution that was happening back in Jerusalem. And he went, and church tradition has him that he set up shop in Ephesus before he was exiled onto an island. But this is where John lived, and he's going to write to churches in this area. And so why this is important is we have somebody who is writing a letter and somebody who's receiving a letter. And what happens here is we are kind of listening to a one-sided phone conversation, right? If we picked up the phone and somebody is walking through the house and I have my wife and she's talking on the phone, a lot of times I can kind of pick up who she's talking to. If it's her sister, she's more casual. If it's, you know, somebody new, she's, hi, how are you? And energetic and excited. She's got that kind of voice. You can pick up the tone of who somebody's talking to and what's going on in the conversation. But you can't actually hear it from the other side. You don't know what's being said. So we draw these conclusions when we look at the entire book and we get to see what's going on. This is a real person, real John writing to real people. And that's the benefit of going through an entire book. We will see there are major themes that will run throughout the entire book of 1 John. His big themes is he's going to talk about love. He's going to talk about obedience, abiding in Christ. And he's going to talk about sound doctrine. Specifically, the incarnation, that Jesus, the incarnation of Christ, that Jesus came from heaven as a missionary, leaving heaven to come to this world to seek and save the lost. That Jesus left heaven to come into our world to pay a debt that we could not pay for our sins and took our place. So that's going to be what John, his foundational piece of doctrine, is he's going to set up on who Jesus is. He's going to say, we're not playing games with this. It's not some metaphorical idea that Jesus was just this good man. He's kind of like a Jerusalem hippie that came by and peace and love, man. Like, Jesus was the God-man. And that's who John, that's what he is going to stake his whole entire life on, is Jesus the God-man. And this is a major theme throughout the whole book, and we'll see how it unfolds. Is that me? Okay. This is awkward. Let's give it up for Renee. Yeah. This is probably awkward on the YouTubes. Just... You guys, hello? Y'all probably think this is more awkward than it is for me. I don't mind this stuff. It's really funny to me. My friends will probably give me a hard time that watch online. So as we go through this book, we want to see what unfolds in the book of 1 John. We're going to see what's important to him. We're going to look at his audience, that he is specifically writing to them as he's going to tell them, hey, don't abandon the faith that you know. Stand firm on what you know. That what's happening is there are teachers that are rising up at the end of the first century, at the end of into the 80s, into the 90s of the first century, and there's new teachers that are coming in. John is the last living apostle. John is the only apostle that lives to old age. So keep that in mind when we're going through this book and when we start out the series in verse 1 through 4. John's the only one that has lived to become an old man. And he's looked at all of his friends, those that walked and talked with Jesus, and they've all been martyred for the faith. This message that John is saying, hey, we're not playing any games with, this is the message that all of his friends have died for. So as we go through, be picking up on these tones. And I would, as a side piece here, I would ask you, we're going to be here for a while. If you go home and you are maybe a slower reader, it might take you 25 minutes to get through the entire book. If you sit down and read verse 1 and go all the way through chapter 5, and if you're a faster reader, maybe 15 to 18 minutes. If you sit down and you just read through the whole book, you'll have a much better feel than just going, we're going to do 4 verses today, 4 verses next week. Read the whole book. Maybe make a note to yourself. I'm going to read this book 5 times for the next 5 weeks. I'm going to read it once a week. And you'll have a better grasp on the book and where we're going. And you too will be able to pick up on major themes and what's really the heart of John. Because that's what we want to do. We want to understand what John was saying to the receiver. Who is John saying this to and why? Because then we can make better interpretations and thus apply it better to our life. And that's what we want. This book, if it just sits stagnant and it's just a book that we study and it's just a book that we know Greek nouns and verbs, that's a textbook. The reason why we show up week in and week out is we want this to change our lives. We want to have transformation of our hearts. Christ has given us a regenerate heart. This thing needs to change our heart. It needs to make our hearts moldable and pliable. If we're just studying for the sake of studying and just gaining knowledge and not applying it, then I'd say it's not worth our time. We want to come week in and week out and say, John, would you use your book to speak the message of Jesus to us? That's what we're here for. Amen? All right. If you, please, this is also maybe not what a lot of new pastors are saying. Please bring Bibles. If you have them and they're those dusty relics that are on the shelves and you're like, I have it on my device, phone, just bring that old Bible. It's not the same to be on your device. I know that it's fun and you can scroll and but just bring it, mark it up, look in it, flip through the pages, dive into your Bibles for the next several weeks. We're going to be in the same book. If you do have your device, that's fine, but old leather and paper works just as well. Let's turn to John, 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. And we will dive into the text for the next several minutes. We all there? Turn there? Went there on our devices? Here we go. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you,
so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing you these things so that our joy may be complete. This would be awkward. So what we jump into in this text is John is opening up this, his letter, and he's writing. There's no formal greeting. If you look at most letters in the New Testament, there's a formal greeting. Hello, everyone. This is your buddy John, and I'm writing to you in grace and mercy and peace. There's no formal greeting, no opening, no formal closure. John is writing a casual letter to people that he knows and that they know him. John is, this would be similar to how I text my wife. I don't have a formal opening and saying, hello, to whom this may concern, this here is Mark Smith, pastor of Foursquare, and then go into it. I would shoot her a message or shoot her an email that's not formal because she knows me. Perhaps, you know, heaven forbid, Ron is out preaching the gospel in Albania and he gets thrown into prison and he writes us back a letter. Ron's not going to have to write an opening and say, hey, this is Ron. I pastored the church for 31 years. I'm this tall and, you know, I'm a spunky man. You know Ron. He wouldn't have to do that formal writing. He would just write us a letter that just says, hey, things aren't looking good here. I'm going to live here for a while. And John is doing the same thing. He's just getting right into it, and he's going to tell those outside of Ephesus, surrounding Ephesus, what's on his mind. And what is on his mind here is John. John is going to tell his reader that in the beginning, so this is going to go right on back. John, and just like in his gospel, John doesn't start with the origin stories of Jesus in the manger and Bethlehem and joy to the world. John, he goes straight to the foundations of the earth. John says, no, I'm going to link Jesus to the beginning. He's going to tell his reader that Jesus was God from the beginning and that Jesus was with God in the beginning, the creation of the world. This is what's important to John. He's going to, John, you got to know John. You'll read through this book and you'll think, oh, pretty surface level stuff, love, kindness, you know, abiding, I get it. But John, he is like rhetoric jujitsu, and he will get in there like verbal kung fu, and you're just playing along with John, and John will have you choked out and upside down and like, oh, I didn't understand it that way. John is incredible with his words, and he has a great economy with his words. And what John is going to do is he's going to say, there's this, the word logos. It's a Greek word, and at this time, the Greeks had a different understanding for logos. It was kind of like the energy or the good vibes that are put out. And John is going to spin this. He's going to take this culturally known metaphor of the word, and he's going to spin it, and he's going to say, no, the word, that word that you're talking about, that was with God, and it was God. And that word came into this world and was Jesus Christ. He's going to say, what you think about your cultural and local gods, no, it's not just good vibes and positive feelings, but he's going to say the real force that is from God was Jesus at the beginning. Not just some story that he came into on the scene early in the first century, but Jesus was at the beginning of the world, that Jesus was in creation. And this is going to be very important to John. And this is where we see John unfold this a little bit more. He's going to say, you want to know why I know this to be true? Read with me in verses halfway through 2. Which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands concerning this world, the life that was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it. We proclaim to you eternal life, that which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. He repeats this idea that he has heard, that he's seen, that he's looked at, and that he has touched. For John, This is no joke. This is his church. This is the churches that presumably he's planted. Presumably he has been discipling, that he's cared for, that he's loved. John will eventually be sent off to an island. Church tradition says that he was meant to be killed. They couldn't kill him. And then they just sent him off to a prison island. That he was meant to be exiled. That John, he went down for the gospel. John is arguably Jesus' best friend. I want us to think about that for a second. Arguably, Jesus' closest friend is John. Who's your closest friend? Who's that person that when you buy your first house, they're the ones that take the picture of you in front of the sign? Not your real estate agent, your real friend. Who's that person that when that house gets taken by the bank, you call them, and they're there for you? Who's that friend that is there for the birth of your new babies? Who's the friend that you call when you've lost one? We all have close friends, and Jesus had a group of friends. He had 12, and then he had an inner circle of Peter, James, and John. And John, he self-identifies, like John's identity. He's the beloved disciple. The one, John tells his friends, the one whom Jesus loved. That's the title that John, when in the gospel that he writes for himself, the one whom Jesus loved. This is his whole identity on the love that came from Jesus. That he's the one that was there with Jesus on the Last Supper. That he's the one that when you heard me teach a couple weeks back on Mark and the transfiguration, that mountain that they went up to, and Jesus is standing there, and Elijah and Moses comes down. Remember this situation in Mark chapter 9? And it's in Matthew and Luke, and John is standing there. John sees this. John was there to testify, man, this is not your ordinary human. And this is a man who is fully man. He is the God-man, Jesus. This is John. John was, he was a witness to the tomb on Easter. And he was there, that he had a lovely little breakfast with Jesus, just on the beaches, eating fish in the morning, because that's what you do. But more importantly, John, in chapter 19, this is Jesus who's being crucified on the cross, and he's there, and his mom is over here weeping. And in John chapter 19, that Jesus looks down from the cross, and he says, John, take care of my mom. Behold, this is your son. Behold, this is your mother. This is who Jesus entrusted to take care of his mother. This is a close friend of Jesus. And this matters to the original reader, to those who this letter is being written to, because they're being led astray. They've been around. There's teaching that's going on that's saying Jesus wasn't exactly God and he wasn't exactly human. He was just, there was a lot of teaching going around. He was perceived to be a human, or people thought he was God after he died and he rose again, and tall tales started to be told about him. And John's saying, no. Nobody's dying at the stake. Nobody's being burned at the stake. Nobody's being crucified upside down for this message of Jesus because it was a figment of our imagination. He's saying, I was there. I heard him. I seen him. I touched him. I looked upon him. And he says, do not be led astray. This isn't, you're not getting some new truth. Stay with the truth that you know. And I think that there's a lot of weight. If we look at what John is saying to the people that he's writing it to, there's a lot of weight for us today. That our truths are becoming relative. That they're, what's good for you? What's not good for me? That doesn't have to be the same. You know, put out good vibes, good spirits, and there really can there be any truth? Yes, there can be. There really can be solid truths to stand on. And John is writing to his reader and he's saying, this is a truth that you can stand on. That the testimony of the Word of God, that we can stand on that truth. And this is for us today. Church, we are being bombarded on things, on reasons not to believe in Jesus. Oh, that's old. That's 2,000 years ago. Did he really die and raise again from the dead? And these are the same questions that were being asked in the Bible. Don't think that these are new. These are same questions that have been passed on through church history that many generations have been asking. And the Bible has stood the test of time. This has testified to the Word of God that the claims of Christ are true. There is a lot here for us to consider, the same as the original reader. So we've looked at what John cares about. He cares about the God-man, Jesus, that he was fully God and he's fully man, and that he came to atone for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. Not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world, John will say in the next chapter. That he'll say that Jesus came to conquer Satan, sin, and death, and to take our place on the cross, to pay a sacrifice that we could not pay, to take our place that we would have eternal life. That is the message that is on John's mind. And then he goes on to say, and my testimony and the testimony of those who follow Christ is true, and it's solid, and it's worthy. And then he's going to say why he's writing this, and this will unfold for the rest of the book. There's two connectives starting in the middle of verse 3, and I'll start at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that, connective, you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. These two connectives here will give us great insight to the reason why John is going to unpack the rest of this letter. He's saying, I'm writing to you that we may have fellowship, that we would be connected to one another. And that he says, that our joy may be complete. John is saying, look, there's persecution going around, that there are false teachers, that there are many claims of who Jesus was. But we stand on a truth of the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus. We have strong testimony to protect that truth. And I am here. And the reason why I am delivering this message to you, churches in the Ephesus area, is that your joy may be complete. And again, that might be just light to us, and we might think, oh, joy to the world, or, you know, happiness, and whatever brings us joy today, this latte, or whatever. But what John is saying, there's true joy. It's not this fake, you know, positive Pete, like, hey, you lost your house today, Pete, praise the Lord, joy to Jesus, you know, not something that we're just mustering up, but true joy that comes through fellowship with one another, loving one another, and that we would abide in him, that there would be obedience. That's going to be what John brings to the table for the next several weeks, is going to be to love people. And John's going to say this. He's going to say, if you want to have true joy in your life, you can't just say, oh, I love God and I hate people. Right? I love God and I'm going to church this Sunday, but I can't stand that woman down in the front row. She's really annoying. She's loud. She's vocal. Not you, babe. We can't say we love God and hate our neighbor. We can't say we love God and we hate that people group. We can't say we love God, but we hate that country. We can't say we love God and hate people. John will say this cannot happen. The two are not mutually exclusive. That John will say, if you say you love God and you hate people, you don't love God. John is awesome because he's black and white. John, you also might remember that John had the nickname, him and his brother, the Sons of Thunder. You don't get Sons of Thunder nickname by being just kind of soft and on the, you know, wishy-washy and it could be relative. No, you're a son of thunder because you're like, we need to call down fire. That's how John got that name. And my wife's telling me not to go off track. My kids and I, we watched Nacho the wrestler guy yesterday, and that guy looked like a son of thunder. When you think son of thunder, you think WWE wrestler, right? And John, that he's that kind of guy. He is intense, he's in your face, and he's not going to back down. And John is going to say, our joy is complete by love for one another, fellowship with one another. And he will unpack this throughout the rest of the book on love for one another, obedience, abiding. If you have read some of John's other work, the gospel, that's going to take us right back to John chapter 15, abiding in Christ, that we abide in him and he abides in us, that we stay connected, thus fellowship with God, fellowship with one another, and sound doctrine in the incarnation of Christ. That is what we are going to unpack for the next several weeks. And I want you to stay in this series with us because I think John will push on us to say what actually brings us joy. And do we really crave it? Do we crave this kind of joy? Because there is a joy that actually surpasses what this world can offer. And it's not dumbing down hardship. It's not dumbing down that we all go through tough stages, that we have hard times in marriage and in life and finances, but it's a joy that gets us through them. It's a joy that gets us through them. So we will learn together for the next several weeks on the book of 1 John. Would you pray with me, church? Jesus, we pray that as we pray these prayers, when we mention your name, Jesus, that there's a deep awe and reverence for who you are. We thank you for men like John who testify that was there, that saw you, that touched you, that was friends with you, that was there with you on the cross, and that was there with you after you rose from the dead, and that these are valuable claims that we can hold to and that we can stand on that are firm to us today. Jesus, we pray that as John is writing to churches in the nearby Ephesus area, that we can glean from this church. As we are a church, Lord, teach us for the next several weeks of what it means to love, to abide, and to have sound doctrine in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us about your Trinity, that the three are one, but yet distinct. Jesus, teach us what it means to love. Jesus, teach us to obey. Jesus, we want you to teach us. We want your scriptures to teach us, and may your scriptures fill our hearts. Lord, we thank you that you are good, and we can trust you, and we can trust this word. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.